If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, just for a few moments, and we're going to try to be out right on time. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, and Lori, don't let me forget those candied eggs. Please don't let me forget those. Let me see. Noble Johnson, where you at? Stand up, would you please? I am so glad you're here. I love you. I'm glad you're here tonight. Good to see you. Good. No, I was just saying hi. That was just, I mean, you don't have to give a speech or anything. I'm sorry. So. Good. Braulio, I saw you and Taylor come in. Glad you're here. Long drive for you guys, and I'm glad every time I see you here. And then my neighbor, Sean. Sean, how long you been coming to our church? We moved over here about 13 years ago. Is that when you first started coming? Yeah, a long time ago. And this is Sean. I did announce that when we moved into the yellow house, we had 9 different neighbors except Christ as their Savior. And I just got to thinking, you know, would they have been saved if I was just a stranger? Or did some of them maybe trust the Lord and start coming because they saw us there a lot? So you're placed in your neighborhood for a reason. And so important. Sean, I'm glad you're here. Glad you're here. Was here this morning and then back tonight as well. And so glad you're here. In 1 Corinthians, we're in, hey, the Blaylock, welcome back for Easter. Sylvia, how y'all doing? Good, good. All right, they've been out of town, so we'll let them come on in too. 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at this. This is called the resurrection chapter. Let's find out. How many of you said to someone, maybe in the last few days of today, happy Easter? And they probably looked back and said, no, no, happy Resurrection Sunday. Anybody get corrected? I got corrected a few times, and that's okay. But this is the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about Jesus' resurrection, and then it also focuses on the resurrected body. So what if we get raised from the dead? If we still got this old flesh, it's not going to be fun spending all eternity in an old decrepit body. And so that's this whole chapter here. We won't read it all, but notice in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1, and the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that's the good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. So again, notice every word counts. The gospel is only good if you receive it, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. He said, not only have you received the gospel, but I'm also calling you saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, first part, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So that's the gospel. He died for our sins, was buried, rose again 3 days later. And I love this too, he was seen. You know, that's not a part of the gospel. God never said he would have to be seen. He died, was buried, rose again. But I'm glad he let people see him. I didn't just want to hear in the Bible he rose from the dead. I want to also know some eyewitnesses saw him. And so 1 Corinthians 15, 4 5, he was seen as Cephas, that's another name for Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, that's his half-brother, then of all the apostles. Last of all, Paul says, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of all the apostles. Verse 10, by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Now notice what the resurrection makes us want to do, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Father, bless now the brief time we have. Amen. He was appearing primarily to saved, born-again believers. Jesus did not appear to Pilate, to Herod, the Sanhedrin. He did not appear to the soldiers after he rose from the dead. How come? They didn't believe when he was on earth, when he raised the dead, when he did miracles, when he healed. They didn't believe that. Why would they believe he was alive again? He appeared primarily to the saved because that's who needed him to appear to them. I want to tell you just briefly by way of introduction who he appeared to, and then we're going to look at probably the most important one and how it applies to us. Number one, if you're taking notes, we're not going to turn to all these, but if you're a note taker, you might want to just jot it down. But in John 20:11, the Bible says he first appeared to Mary Magdalene. She's from the place of Magdala. She's the one who Jesus cast out seven demons. He only says that seven devils. He only says that about one woman that Jesus cast devils out of. Seven. Others had devils. He cast them out. But this one, it says seven. Seven is complete. She was completely possessed by the devil. And guess what? She's the first one he appeared to. Wow. How come? I believe he was insinuating, I came to save sinners. Why are you so surprised? He appeared to Mary first. I love that. That says volumes. Volumes. Number two. Then he appeared to the two men on the road to Emmaus. About a 6-mile journey. Reference, if you jot it down, Luke 24:17. They're the two that were walking somewhere. And Jesus just appeared. And the Bible says he withheld their eyes so they didn't recognize him. Kind of a strange verse. And he said, fellas, why are you so sad? They said, you haven't heard. He said, no, what? Jesus loves to hear us word in our own words how we're feeling. I love it. About Jesus of Nazareth, we believed he was the Messiah and he died 3 days later and someone said he's alive. Then they sat down to eat and Jesus acted like he was going to go farther. They said, stay for supper. No, I can't. No, please. Okay. And when he prayed and broke the bread, they realized it was him. How come? When he broke the bread, they saw the scars. And then he disappeared out of their presence. The road to Emmaus. Those two disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures in the way? What was he saying to them? Tell me how you feel. And the risen Savior still says the same thing to us today. We must hasten. Then he appeared to the disciples. Luke 24:36. His first words, fear not. They were all shut in the upper room. The door was closed. How come? Because John the Baptist had been killed. Their Savior had been crucified. They were fearing for their life. Jesus appears and says, fear not. And he says to us today, and I just want to say this. I know what the news has on it. I mean, they're circling Taiwan right now with their planes on enemy maneuvers, just testing. Who knows what's going to happen in China? Who knows what's going to happen with North Korea? We don't know all these things. Who knows what's going to happen in the trial in the White House? But I know this, fear not. Amen. Fear not. They were filled with fears. It's easy for us to be filled with fears. Jesus would say, fear not. The resurrected Christ then appears the next week. John 20:24. And he appears, and it was Thomas who missed the service. You remember? That's all we know about the poor guy. Maybe he was sick. Maybe he had COVID. Who knows? Maybe. Well, we really bad, so Thomas. He doesn't have a chance to say why he missed, but he missed one service. And Jesus shows up, and he says, unless I see the nail prints and touch them, I'm not going to believe. Jesus shows up, walks through the door, and says, Thomas, here you go. Put your hands right here. Here, thrust your hand in my side. See, touch me, believe. Amen. And he said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus looked at him and said, blessed is he that seeth not, yet believeth. That blessing is for us. He says, Thomas, you've seen and believe. He said, I'm going to bless those who've never seen me. Amen. So what was his thoughts for Thomas? Touch me. 1 Corinthians 15, we just read it. It said, James, the Lord's brother, saw him. If you remember the scriptures in the New Testament, it says, neither did his, it's why Jesus was doing ministry, neither did his brethren believe in him. That would have been James, his half-brother, and some of the kids that Joseph and Mary had after Jesus. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. But later on he did. He said, and James saw me. Later on, he writes the book of James. And guess how he starts the book? James. But he's called the Lord's brother. He calls himself, he could have said the Lord's brother, but he called himself the servant. But Scripture calls him the Lord's brother. What would he have said? What was the meaning there to James? Never too late to believe. Then we see in John 21, verse 4, the fisherman, he tells him, keep your pole in the water. A whole sermon on that. He said, cast the net on the other side. Children, have you caught any fish? No, we hadn't caught any fish. Throw it on the other side. They can't tell who he is. He said, hey, put your pole back in. You're not going to catch fish if your net's pulled out. They were discouraged. We'll dwell on that in just a moment. Let me just quickly just give you the references. I'm not meaning to be so long, but Acts 1:8, his ascension. He is now surrounded with disciples, many of them. Now Jesus rises and he ascends back to heaven. They see him go. Interesting. The last thing they would have seen as they looked up were his feet. With the nail piercings in his feet. That's the last thing they would have seen. And the two angels say, why stand you here gazing up? The same Jesus who ascended will one day come back. Amen. And so what's he saying to us in this story? He said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Acts 7:58, Stephen is being stoned. He looks up. He sees Jesus. What's Jesus saying to this first martyr? Welcome home. Acts chapter 9, verse 4 through 6. Paul is going to persecute Christians, and he looks up, sees a bright light. He hears, Saul, Saul, why hast thou forsaken me? What's he saying to Saul? I still save the hard cases. Amen. Amen. You know, we had some hard cases here today. Not all got saved, but they all heard it. But they all heard it. And God never gives up on anybody. And let me encourage you. You're working on people trying to get to church and they won't come or they won't listen or they won't admit the truth. Just keep working on them. Amen. Acts chapter 23. Paul is in prison and the Lord appears to him and says, you're going to preach in Rome. In other words, you're going to get through this. Maybe that's what the Lord's telling some of you this week. You're going to get through this. You're going to get through this. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. He says, one day he's coming again for the saints. That's us. We'll see him. The rapture, I'm hoping it's slow motion. Because the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's pretty fast when your eye twinkles. I'm hoping it's not gone, arrive. I'm hoping it's slow motion. So we hear the trumpet, see him. See loved ones on the way up. Maybe it won't be. I don't know. But that's 1 Thessalonians. Revelation 6:16, if you're jotting it down. The tribulation unsaved will see him. The Bible says during the tribulation, when we're up in heaven, as the judgments are getting more and more fierce, it says the people on earth will blaspheme and curse him. And they'll say, hide us from the face of the Lamb. So it seems like God's going to just unscroll the heavens. And they'll look up and see Jesus looking down. They will know who is sending all these judgments. And they'll curse him. So they'll see the resurrected Christ. And then the last one is in Revelation 19. When the Bible says, when the tribulation period's about to end, the battle of Armageddon, there'll be someone sitting on a white horse. And on his thighs are going to be written, faithful and true. And on his crown, King of Kings. and Lord of Lords. And we'll see him as we come down with him to this earth. The resurrected Christ, 13 appearances he makes. Now, let me focus in on one here. In John chapter 21, let's look at this just for a moment. John chapter 21, I want to give you four reasons to be encouraged. Here it is. John chapter 21, I believe we're going to be out just right on time. Here we are. No jokes. I told them all today. I'm sorry. But John 21, and looking down, and we see the disciples, they're discouraged. Well, one of them is Simon Peter. Not going to preach the whole message, but in verse 1, after these things, what things? Help me. It's talking about Simon Peter in this chapter. What things? You remember? Remember that one? Though all men forsake you, I will not forsake you. He denied three times before the rooster crowed twice. And the Bible says he wept bitterly. Jesus is at the trial. And when the rooster crowed, the Bible says Jesus turned and looked at Simon. They were close enough together where Jesus looked when the rooster crowed. And Simon Peter saw his eyes. There he is warming by the fire instead of defending Jesus. And he starts weeping. He felt like he failed. He felt like he blew it. 3 years of training, he didn't stand. The one that fed him and trained him and loved him and taught him how to pray and how to preach and saved his soul, he turned him down and denied him. So Simon Peter says this, look at this, in John 21. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself at the Sea of Tiberias, verse 2, they were together, Simon Peter and Thomas. You never see these people together. Didymus and Nathanael, Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. He was not talking about just recreational fishing to have some fun. He was saying this, I blew it. I guess I'm not cut out for this. I quit. I'm going back to my old job and my old lifestyle. That's what he was saying. Be careful what you say when you're discouraged. Amen. Other ears are listening. Amen. New Christians are listening. Your children are listening. Young people are listening. Simon Peter, I quit. Seven other disciples, we quit too. I'm going fishing. We're going fishing too. Some of them weren't even fishermen. So he's all discouraged. He's a failure, he thinks. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Into verse 3, that night they caught nothing. You'll never have anything to show for life when you quit serving the one who made you to serve him. Amen. We're made for a person. We're made for a place. We're made for a hymn. We're made for a heaven. Anything outside of that is not fulfilling. So they didn't have anything to show for their life. We had some people in church today I haven't seen in long time. I wonder if they have anything to show for the years of not serving the Lord. Amen. You hardly ever hear anybody say, you know, I wasted 10 years. Let me tell you how good that was. You never hear that. So he didn't have anything to show for it. Verse 5, Jesus speaks up and says, children, have you any meat? Why did he tell them, call them children? Because they were acting like children. They answered him, nope. He said, cast the net on the right side of the ship. They cast therefore, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it's the Lord. You know the story. Peter jumps into the water, swims to the shore. They drag the fish. Verse 9, here's the key. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. What were the disciples fishing for? Help me. They were fishing for fish. And guess what Jesus has on the shore? Fish. He already had the deep craving in their soul. Amen. Whatever we are searching and craving for, God already has it. He has what we've been looking for. So they come, and this is just a parenthetical little statement here. Ladies, Or young girls, if you have a dad, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I don't know where that verse is, but it's in there somewhere. What's it mean? You want a man to talk? Feed him. Feed him. Men don't like to just sit down and talk and have a serious conversation. Put a fork in his hand, one hand, a knife in the other, food on the plate. He'll talk. Well, here's Jesus. He's about to confront Simon Peter, who has denied him. They've not had a talk since he denied him. Jesus says, eat. Eat. Simon's eating fish. He's eating bread. He's eating fish. He's eating bread. You kind of see where we're going on this? Then that's when Jesus asked him, hey, Simon, let me ask you something. While his mouth is full. Verse 15, and when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? So now Jesus asked him a hard question. Do you love me? His mouth is full. He can't answer. He's probably nodding his head. Then he says, more than these? What's the these? We don't know. Scripture doesn't say. Maybe he's saying more than these disciples. Maybe he's saying more than these fishing vessels. Maybe he's looking at the fish. More than these, all the money they'd get from the fish. And so several things that Simon had to figure out here. Number one, he settled, and I've said it before, the love question. Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me supremely? Do you love me? Do you not just like me? Do you love me supremely? He said, Lord, I love you. When you settle the love question, when you love him more than anyone in anything, it settles everything else. It settles who your friends are. It settles where you put your finances. It settles where you go on Sundays. It settles what you talk about. It settles your vocabulary. It settles how you text. It settles how you dress. It settles where you go and what priorities you have. It just settles everything. Amen. He said, Simon, we're not going to nitpick and go through 1,000 different things. He said, I just want to know, do you love me with all your heart? Amen. Because later on, we're going to find out he did. And later on, he did not deny the Lord, and he was crucified upside down. When they started to crucify him, legend tells us that when they started to put the crucifix up, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. So they flipped it upside down. Amazing. Number one, he settled the love question. Number two, notice what he told him. He said, somebody still needs you. He says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And then look at the last part of verse 15. Feed my lamb. Then the last part of verse 16, feed my sheep. Last part of verse 17, feed my sheep. What's he saying? He's saying, I need you to be like a shepherd. He said, there's some little sheep that need someone to learn the word of God and share it. He said, there's some older sheep that need someone to watch out for them and feed them. Feed my sheep. You're needed. Amen. Every one of us is needed. And from time to time, we get a little discouraged. We get tired. We get disappointed. We get burdened. We carry a heavy cross. Pressure comes on us. A lot of negative. Bad news. Sad news. We don't feel well. We're aging. Someone drops out. Someone passes. Someone goes to heaven we love. And after a while, we just feel like, man, I just don't want to keep going. And Jesus is saying, Simon Peter, somebody needs you. Amen. You got to get back up. Get up. Get up. Somebody needs you. Get off this fishing vessel. Someone needs you. You're needed. Amen. First thing the devil does when we fail at doing something, he lies in our head. You're of no use now. God would never use you. Look what you've done. Look at you. How dare you? He's the great accuser. One, settle the love question. Number two, he had to realize he was still needed. Number three, Jesus told him to get back to the basics. Verse 19. He says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he, that's Jesus, saith unto him, that's Simon Peter, notice this, follow me. Then look at the last part of verse 22. He says it again, follow thou me. Now you help me. Okay, Bible scholars, here we go. Wake up, wake up, wake up. We got about 8 minutes. Here we go. The first words Jesus spoke to the disciples. I'll start it, you finish it. Follow me and I will make you. Okay, but notice how he started. Follow me. That was his first words to Simon Peter and the disciples. Seashore Galilee, follow me. And there it is. Now, 3.5 years later, he says, Simon, look at me. Follow me. What's he saying? First words I gave you 3.5 years ago, it still works. Back to the basics. Back to the basics. The New Orleans Saints, I hate to even say their name. Football team has now hired a quarterback who didn't. Anyway, long story. I'm upset at them, I guess. But the reason the Saints oftentimes lose a game is because of the basics. They step out of bounds. They're offsides. They block in an inappropriate way. They tackle incorrectly. They drop just the basics. And almost every Christian you meet, if they've gotten away from the Lord, I tell you what happened. The basics. Bible. Prayer. Church attendance. Tithing. Being a witness. Carrying tracts. Watching the intake in their eyes and the intake in their ears. It's just the basics. You find anyone who's fallen into what we call deep sin or maybe some addiction and they used to serve the Lord. What happened? You trace it back. Where did you get off? Well, I stopped reading my Bible. I cut out Sunday night and I cut out Wednesday night. And we started going out of town on Sundays and it just kind of went down from there. From a marriage to ministry, it's all the basics. Just the basics. Nothing fancy. Sometimes people will say, we need to study Revelation and what the iron toes and the clay toes are all about. Man, I'm trying to find the Romans road. I found out most people could care less. A lot of that never helps their marriage, never helps their kids. Amen. Was Constantinople really the capital and the birthplace of Catholicism? Some of you are saying, Constantinople. I think I had a little on a chili one time. I put some of that on a chili. It's a city, by the way. Okay, back to the basics. And then last, Jesus told him to get his eyes off of others. Amen. Notice what he says. Verse 21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and he's looking at John, the other disciple, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will, he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? Follow, it's implied. You follow thou me. He's saying, get your eyes off John. None of your business what I want John to do. Hey, you follow me. That's what he's saying. Amen. You know, you have to get your eyes off others. Amen. People will disappoint you. Some people you get closer to, and they'll be bigger in life than what you thought they were. Others will be less. There'll be some people that'll get in the Christian race with you, and they're not going to hang in there very long. You're going to say, where is so-and-so? Where's that bus kid from 50 years ago? He only came once 50 years ago. There's going to be people in the race that don't finish with you. There may be family members not finish with you. You're going to have to keep your eyes on the one that's at the end of the race. The Calvinist says all throughout the funeral service, and I'm not going to try to spoil it for you. You need to view it. But Brother Kavanaugh kept telling his wife and his kids, we run all the way to the tape. We run all the way to the end of the race, all the way to the end of the tape. We run to the tape. Amen. Amen. And almost every one of his kids stood up at his funeral and said, Dad always taught us, run to the end of the tape. That's right. It kind of looked like them Kavanaugh kids, they're not looking at people who've disappointed them. They're not even looking just at their dad. They're looking to the one their dad looked to. Amen. Run to the tape. Amen. Let me encourage you. I don't know where you are. Christian life is like a roller coaster sometimes. Man, you can be shouting. You ever notice? You can be shouting on Sunday morning, "What a Sunday!" By Wednesday, I quit. It's a lot like that. So what's the answer for us? Realize Jesus already has all you're deeply longing for. And I like this too. When one of his most prized possessions, which is you, gets discouraged, guess what he does? He comes looking for you. Sometimes from a text from a friend or phone call from a Christian, but he comes looking for you. Simon Peter was too treasured. He invested 3.5 years in him. He wasn't just going to say, "Well, God deny me, forget it." I knew he wouldn't make it. No, Jesus went and looked for him.
Amen.
That's why sometimes these new converts, these people that get saved, these people that get baptized, sometimes we're just going to have to look for them for a while till they get strong enough to look for other people.
Amen.
Back to the basics. We've had a long week. I've worked hard. I know you have too. If you're on a bus route yesterday, you're whipped. If you worked in that nursery tonight, you're triple whipped. This morning, I heard we had 25 kids in there or something like that. And all the workers just left. They got tired of it. No, I'm kidding. Let's refocus back on him. Get your eyes off others. Back to the basics. Somebody needs you.